we're right up on our new school year. Very thankful to have Ryan and Jennifer now with us working. I hope that will multiply our opportunities in working both on campus and in the community. Certainly thankful to have Ryan being able to teach this morning, and we'll be using him in various capacities there as well. It's so important that we recognize this local church. We really exist because of God's will and God's directions. And as a consequence, we want to give great emphasis to teaching. The local church is a spiritual institution with a spiritual purpose. And so as Ryan comes in to work as an evangelist, it's not a youth evangelist, not an associate minister. No, none of those titles are used in Scripture. Ryan is an evangelist. I work as an evangelist and one of the shepherds. And we just try to take God's plan and use that and take advantage of that. And I'm excited about the potential, the doors that are going to be opened, the work that we do together. And tonight's really about that. Tonight we're going to finish the series I've begun a few weeks back on prayer. This is the last part of the four-part series. And we're going to talk about intercession. But within the context, I really want to talk with you about God answering prayer. Why we need to pray to God. And I hope tonight we do more than just that you feel guilty about something. I don't mind guilt. Guilt produces repentance. But I'm really wanting you to see the plan of God, the will of God, our motives, our thoughts, who we are in relationship to God. Is He molding us? Prayer is really going to be reflective of our entire mind. And when we learn to pray, we're going to learn more how to be molded into the image of God. I know there are people today who don't believe God answers prayer. You know, there's some song, I've seen it in popular culture and in movies, you know, the only thing we've got left is a prayer. Oh no, is it that bad? You know, I see people thinking that prayer is just kind of the action of the desperate. But amongst God's people, do we believe God is working? I'll tell you one thing, one of the dangers of prosperity is that we sometimes kind of think that everything's going to continue with ease. It won't. Many of you are hurting, and many of you have lost loved ones. Many of you have uncertainties, and even though those things are hurtful, they help us see we need God. What does a living faith do? A living faith works. In James 2:18, the Bible says, "But somebody will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.'" When it comes to prayer, prayer is one of the good windows we can look into our life to see how much we trust God and His promises. And so, let's talk about intercession. You know, when we see the need for something, we'll act. Jesus in Luke 18 gave a very interesting parable. And the parable is of persistent prayer. Now, what does that mean? You keep going to God. You keep going to God. You take time and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. Some people have an attitude, well, God knows what I need and He's just going to give it to me. No, He won't. And so here's a parable here that Jesus is trying to say, you want to have a relationship with God, listen to this. Luke 18:1. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, God doesn't get wearied by you continually coming to Him. He's not an unjust judge, but notice the conclusion, verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? What does Jesus expect of us to do? To cry out to God day and night. In our time of prosperity and certainty and predictability, that may not describe us. We need our God. You know, as we talk about prayer, we've been talking about how you can divide prayer into four elements. We talked about praise, confession, petition, and intercession. And one of the things we pointed out that really this is just a natural extension of our relationship with God. We love to praise God because we know what He's like. We know He's there. He hears. We confess our sins to Him as we want God to mold us. And we know the relief of the guilt of our sins because God is just to forgive. The one thing that we noted that immature Christians, when they first start out, probably have the bulk of their prayers to be filled with petition. It's good to ask God of things. It's good. That's okay. But sometimes if that's all we do in prayer, there's a lack of understanding of our relationship with God. And then tonight, if there probably was going to be what may be with some, the thing that we do the least, it might be intercession. I don't know. You think about it. You think about it in your life, and this is a very humbling lesson. You know, people sometimes view God as a great vending machine. They just want to get something out of it. God is more than that. God wants us to make requests of Him. God wants us to get out of ourselves and go to God. And when we talk about intercession, we're talking about praying for others. Intercession has similarity to praise. Because when you're praising God, you're out of the picture. You've just got God in view. When you're interceding for others, you're out of the picture. And you truly are wanting things for others, and you know God will provide. Intercession really is a mark of spirituality. And the stunning thing, and here, what I'm going to do, we're going to cover a lot of Scripture. We're just going to just note it. We're going to cover the Scripture quickly tonight. But have you ever wondered about the apostles and how they did their time management? There's a football coach. Well, maybe no. No, I think it was a... No. I'll go back. I think it was Bill Gates, I think, years ago, who was the head of Microsoft. He asked about him worshiping God, and that wasn't in his time management plan. That was just a waste of time. How about the apostles' time management plan? Where did the apostles give their priority? In Acts chapter 6, we talked about this in some lessons recently this morning in our Holy Spirit class. The apostles had an issue where they needed to bring some people forward to wait on tables. And so they, in Acts 6, it talks about those that they were to select, but I really want to take note of verse 4. Of Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle says, we've got a higher priority than waiting on tables. Now notice the priority of the apostles. But we will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Well, it says that, but the order here, again, I don't know if there's significance to the order or not, but it says we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, wait, the apostles gave the foundation of the church in the giving of inspiration, giving the New Testament. That's significant to the apostles. Prayer was significant as well. What was the apostles' prayers like? We're going to get an insight into that through some of the epistles that we read about. And so here's a question I want to ask you this. If a faithful man regularly goes to God in prayer, does he then need others to pray for him? Ever thought about that? Do others need to pray for you and for me? Are we going to answer that question? All right, do we need God's help? Of course, you know, you ask it that way. We need God's help. Okay. How does God help come? Well, we know we're to ask, make requests of Him. We're to take we go to God. But it's very interesting. The apostles were certainly within the offices given within the church. They were at the top of the food chain, so to speak. They were the ones that had the most power, the most influence, the most significant role. We even read about how that the signs of apostles, you know, were done amongst the Christians. They're very powerful in their role. But let's take Paul, the Apostle Paul, a man who received the Word of God by inspiration, a man who prayed to God for himself, who turned to God often. Have you ever noticed how often he asked for Christians to pray for him? It just takes a little bit of a list. This is not comprehensive. But let's start reading. Paul, do you need somebody to pray for you? 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And by the way, that's kind of the essence of the lesson tonight. Trusting in God, not trusting in yourself. Sometimes bad things in life are good for us. They teach us some things. They get some of the carnality out of us. But now notice verse 10, the deliverance he received. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Well, God gives promises. Paul claims those promises. Paul has a faith in God. Does Paul need anyone else to pray for him? Verse 11. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf, that the gift granted to us through many. Paul wanted others to pray for him. Let's go down the list. Philippians 1:9. He talked about future deliverance. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let's keep looking. Paul wanted to, you know, we talk about prayer and the ministry of the Word. Paul knew that the spread of the gospel involves God. I know, well, I want to be a teacher. We'll learn how to teach. We'll learn how to teach. But let me tell you, the doors of opportunity. Are you interested in evangelism? Do you want to see others saved that are in this community? Is that a passion of yours because it was the passion of Jesus? You're going to be praying like Paul prayed, Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us. Here the apostle, pray for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul needed God. Well, wasn't Paul praying to God? Yes, he was praying to God. He needed others to pray for him. I'll tell you one thing. I'll just tell you frankly about the congregation here, us, our work. I am convinced that we have been blessed. The good that we have seen has come because of many people praying. I think one of the things about a work like this, I've told people, we're almost like a regional work. We've got a lot of parents whose children are coming down to be with us. We have a lot of parents and a lot of people from a lot of places praying for this congregation, and I am so thankful for it. The good that we've been able to accomplish, the problems we've been able to work through, the direction we've been able to take as far as those good things, I know that's a product of answered prayer. And I would say, parents, keep praying for us. I pray that you'll pray for our elders and pray for our preachers and pray for everyone here. We need your prayers. You continue along this theme. Paul, in one case, just made a broad appeal. He says, brethren, pray for us. And so again, do I need to figure out everything, how God works these things, how it works out? The one thing that I know that my God wants to help, he wants to provide, but he also will help those who walk by faith. The deliverance from the wrong kind of people, the spread of the word, the ability to be able to see opportunities open. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, again, very similar. This kind of gets repetitive somewhat here. But notice, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Have you ever prayed to have a door that day that you're praying? There's a song, one of my favorite songs in our songbook. We don't sing it very much. I think it's 476, I think. Lead me to some soul today. I like that song. It says, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. God opens doors. Do you want them? You see, that's the thing. We may have doors open and somebody's not thinking about evangelism. We go back to our heart and our soul. Are we becoming more like Jesus? Are we worldly? And we just don't really think about God's help. Maybe we were proud, and maybe we're not very humble. Maybe we really have this confidence that's a foolish confidence, like the man who's going to build, tear his barns down and build bigger ones. Let us make sure we're humbled and see our need of God. Look at Hebrews 13. I don't know if an apostle wrote Hebrews 13, okay? I don't think Paul wrote Hebrews, but the Hebrew writer didn't tell us who wrote it. But whoever wrote it here, notice, pray for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience and in all things desiring to live honorably, but I especially urge you to do this that I may be restored to you the sooner. Here, the writer of the Hebrew letter wanted to get back with the brethren. Prayer. You pray for us. Well, why don't you say, well, you just pray about it. All God has to do is have one prayer, and one prayer takes care of it. Not as I look at Scripture. Our God is in control, and He's not going to tell us how He does things, but I'm going to tell you, many people praying persistently, consistently, often, is what God wants. And so again, I just hope we just think about these simple truths. Could you imagine if every one of us in this building truly had a faith to pray as we ought? I believe with all of my heart we will see things that we have not yet seen. That doors will be opened. That many good blessings will come. The Lord's cause will prosper. You know, in Matthew 7, I want to just illustrate a point to you. I recently spent more time than I wanted in trying to refurbish a house. And it didn't take me very long, without very little experience with hammers and nails and screwdrivers and saws and things like that, to figure out I needed help. Matter of fact, in some cases, we had to hire somebody who was capable of doing some of the things I couldn't do. And I mean, it just made sense that if I can't do these things, and here somebody knows how to do it, to call for help. Now, I paid for that help. Now, not all cases. Now, I certainly had some people that came and helped me free of charge, and I appreciate that. But could you imagine, let's suppose you decided you were going to build a building by yourself and you had no experience. You're going to go out there and fumble around and bumble around. I can remember as a kid, I tried to build a house by myself, and it was so, we got scrap wood, and it was so dangerous the kids wouldn't let people play at my house because they figured as they would get in there, it was going to fall down on them, and they probably were right. But could you imagine you taking on a job you can't help, but then somebody says, who has the ability, has the tools, has the know-how, says, you call me anytime and I will help you. How foolish would it be for a person to get out there and just make a mess of it and accomplish nothing and never call on their neighbor who says all you got to do is ask? Now you think about God. Here Jesus, in describing the nature of our God wants to help. Do we want to ask for it? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. As we talked about in the last lesson, though, it's got to be done by faith. It's got to be done with the purpose of God in mind. Some people have it gone out of worldliness. You know, I'll tell you something. If you're a worldly person, spiritual lessons are you boring. If you're a worldly person, spiritual opportunities, you don't want any of it. You don't want any doors of opportunity to teach because you really don't want to teach people. In James 4:2, it talks about how worldliness was destroying certain Christians in their attitude, in their relationships, in the local congregation they were part of. And he points out here there's a basic wrong thinking here. Your heart is not totally into the Lord. It's not totally into His purposes. It's not zealously pursuing eternity, and that is in view. And if you don't have that in view, prayer's not going to help very much at all. Unless you pray to have light to repent. But in James 4:2, it says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You look at the context. Prayer is for people who really want God's will. and our God will help. Let me ask this next question. Do other people need your prayers? I like the point Ryan made this morning about how God uses people. Not necessarily it's the most talented people that are most effective. It's a person who really has faith, regardless of ability. You can pray. There may be some things you can't do, but let me tell you, brother and sister, you can pray. Do we need to pray for others? Well, let's now go back to the apostles. Let's take the life of Paul, and I'm going to cover this quickly, as it's really almost the same point over and over and over again here. But ask Paul. Paul, I'm sure he was like those apostles in Acts chapter 6. He needed to spend time in prayer and the ministry of the word. Notice Paul. Who do you pray for, Paul? How often do you pray for others? Let's talk about churches. Romans 1:9, the church at Rome. He says, "For this is my witness, for whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Okay, there's church at Rome. Now, he just prayed maybe once a week. I pray for everybody I ought to pray for. Is that what he did? No. That's not what we see here. Keep going. Again, this is going to be redundant here. But notice, the church at Corinth. Paul, how often do you pray for the church at Corinth? "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus." Here he's thanking God for the good reports that hear of them. He prays for them always. How about the church at Philippi? Paul, do you ever pray for the church at Philippi? "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy." Is that us? You ever pray for other churches? Like I say, I know a lot of people pray for us. I really believe that on my heart. You please keep praying. We need God's help, and we need people like Paul, like others. Look at the church at Colossae. Here's a church he never even met. "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Wow, that started to take up some time. As a matter of fact, notice in Colossians 1:9, it's not just Paul, but the people that are with Paul. Notice this, it says, "For this reason we also," here plural, "since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." One thing I like about Facebook, I like to hear announcements of somebody's obeyed the gospel. I like to hear announcements of the cause of Christ in another area and maybe events they have going on and plans they have of Bible preaching or maybe singing. Do we by name pray for other churches? You may say, "Well, that doesn't have anything to do with me." Well, if you're the body of Christ, it ought to have a lot to do with you. Here, Paul, we don't know if he ever met the church at Colossae, but what Paul was interested in was in the cause of God. Do you see my point? Should we pray for others? First, the church at Thessalonica. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Wow. Those were churches. How many others did he pray for we don't even read, because we're only looking at the inspired writings that God chose to let us have in our New Testament. Well, let's go further. Let's talk about individuals. Let's talk about individuals. Did Paul pray for individuals? Listen to this. Here, Timothy. Of course, you know Timothy. He converted. Timothy, we were starting to study this morning. He was able to lay hands on Timothy and give him a spiritual gift, as apostles were able to do. Timothy was a special person to Paul, and you can understand, as he would write to Timothy, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." Let me ask you this question. What might you pray for another person? Do you pray for others? What would you pray about? Let's talk about that. I won't get there. I won't talk about this. Okay, he's praying for others, mentioning them in his prayers night and day. Look at Philemon. Here's the man whose runaway slave, Onesimus, was brought back to him. He says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." Any others Paul prayed for? How much time would that take? I have no doubt he prayed for many, many others. And I think we see the fruit of that in the spread of the gospel. Now, let's draw just a few points and draw a conclusion. Intercession. Brethren, you got to get out of yourself. As we talk about Paul praying for churches and Paul praying for others, could I ask of you, you might want to start maybe with our church directory. Have you ever gone down through the church directory and just prayed for each member one by one, over and over, prayed for them? And you know what? You may not know some people. I think that would be kind of characteristic. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, we got new faces and new names identifying with us. Sometimes that's a real challenge we have of getting to know one another. But what would you pray for as you got to know somebody? You know, what's good is that we get to know one another and open our hearts to one another. We may be praying for somebody's struggle we know of. We certainly may be praying for their faith and their growth. We can read in the book of Ephesians. We can read some of the specific prayers Paul gave for others. But one of the reasons why I'm afraid sometimes people don't pray is that, you know, it's like what I was talking about when I was a kid, you know, when I used to think, well, I'm going to pray for all the toys in the closet. And then the next morning when I opened my closet, it wasn't there, you know. I had a misconception of prayer. Prayer doesn't always mean, boom, you get it. But one thing you can know, God answers prayer. And you have people you love. I know we have parents leaving their children here going back home. I know you're going to be praying for them. But we all need prayers. We need to be praying every day and understand that God answers prayer in His time. God will take care of us. You know, it's interesting when we look at in the Scriptures of how sometimes because we don't have God's view, we are men, sometimes we think things won't do any good. There was occasion where the apostles had fished all night. They were professional fishermen and the night was done. They were coming in, they had finished fished all night. They concluded there's no fish to be found today. And here the Lord comes up to them, throw your nets out. And you can almost see them like, you know, this is not going to do any good. Matter of fact, they basically can tell the Lord this. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net. Could I ask you in this series that we've covered, would you think again about how you pray? I'd love you to pray for me. I want to promise you that I'm going to do better in terms of my praying for others, enlisting others. Let us as a group, let us spend more time in mentioning one another by name because the Lord said it will do good. Going to our God in prayer. I believe it'll do good. I believe it can change our schedules. What are the greatest needs in the Lord's church today? You know, and it's good to see the challenges. You know, sometimes I'll talk with others. There's doctrinal challenges. Sometimes we talk with others about the effect of the culture upon the church. Sometimes we talk about maybe we need more evangelism and how, you know, the culture is becoming more hostile to Christianity. And we could look at this need and that need and something else. But I want to tell you, on the top of your list, as you see those needs, pray to God. Praise Him. Confess your sins so that you have a right relationship with Him. Pray in your own life. Make requests of Him. And pray for others. Evangelism. We've already covered verses. God will open doors. God will want you to pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Greater knowledge amongst members. Look at here, book of Colossians. Here Paul gave specifics of his prayer to the church at Colossae. He says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray for one another's growth. What else should we pray for? We can pray for a greater love for one another. Greater discernment, Philippians 1:9, it says, and I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. A greater love, we can be closer. We can pray, certainly pray for the eldership. Please pray for us. here two men in a congregation of this size. I'll assure you we're doing our best, but I'll tell you it's been the most humbling thing I've ever experienced of trying to have the wisdom to try to help this group. And I know Walker would echo that. We need your prayers, and I appreciate you praying for us. Not that we're special people above others. Everybody needs prayers. But I appreciate your prayers on our behalf as well. We need that. We need to be able to discern, have the wisdom. And then finally tonight, we need to pray for strong homes. Sometimes we have visitors come in, and I'll tell them a little bit about our congregation, how many students we have coming in, and then how many young people we have, the number of children we have that are in our homes. And if we could somehow be a group that implants the Word of God in our young people, implants the Word of God and strengthens those that come within our doors, the potential of this congregation and what we can be and the influence we can have on untold generations is incredible. But we need God's help. Let us continue to pray. And so that's my lesson. I hope you've, like I say, I didn't want this to be just a guilt trip. Pray more. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a building of faith. We're talking about seeing the potential. We're talking about opening our hearts in a way to be able to let God work in our lives. We need men and women willing to intercede in prayer on behalf of others. I draw a conclusion to this series in Ephesians chapter 3. What is the potential of the power of a living faith? In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Did you get this verse? God says, here's what the potential is. You know, if you talk about anything I can think, that's a lot. God says, you don't even know how to think. You can think of things. I can do more than that. Not just do more of it. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We have a God right now that says, ask, seek, knock. Will you do it? Let's all together. Make a greater step by faith to let our God help us in our work. If you're not a Christian, we invite you this evening to become one. We want to encourage you to ask God for forgiveness, to ask God for forgiveness based on His conditional promises. If we can assist you in baptizing you into Christ, if we can assist you in any issue you have between your relationship with God, let this night be the night. You say, God, I need your help. I want to be your child. I want to trust your promises. Can we assist you in any way? Would you come as we stand and sing?